From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. That's the sound of anti-aircraft fire in Tripoli after U.S. missiles targeted sites in Libya on Saturday. It's the first phase of an international operation to create a no-fly zone. NPR's Rachel Marchand says the Tomahawk missiles were fired from American and British warships and submarines in the biggest coalition military effort since the Iraq War.
More than 100 Tomahawk missiles were launched into Libyan airspace, pursuing more than 20 different targets. A senior U.S. military official said the first phase of the operation is to take out Libya's air defense systems. The U.S. is expected to take the lead in command and control of this initial phase. The same senior U.S. defense official said there are two goals. First, to prevent further attacks on Libyan civilians, and second, to degrade the Gaddafi regime's ability to resist a no-fly zone. Secretary Gates had been scheduled to depart on a trip for Russia, but at the last minute, the trip was delayed by a day. A Pentagon spokesman says so Gates can keep a close eye on Libyan operations from Washington. Rachel Martin, NPR News, Washington.
Libyan strongman Muammar Gaddafi says his country will defend itself. Speaking on Libyan state television Saturday, Gaddafi says the international action on his forces is crusader aggression that may ignite another large-scale crusader war. About 100 anti-war protesters were arrested outside the White House on Saturday. The crowd cheered as police arrested Daniel Ellsberg, who leaked the Pentagon Papers in 1971. The demonstrators carried signs with slogans saying they opposed the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Emergency workers at the Fukushima nuclear complex in Japan have succeeded in lowering temperatures at some of the damaged reactors there. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports that teams have also hooked up a cable to bring electricity to the complex.
Scores of fire department and military vehicles have been inundating reactor fuel pools with seawater fired from water cannons. The pools hold used fuel rods in danger of overheating and burning. The efforts have lowered temperatures, so the teams are moving on to hose down other facilities there. Meanwhile, teams of engineers have laid a power cable into one of the reactors and plan to extend it to others in the six-reactor complex. They hope to feed electricity in to restart pumps and cooling equipment that have been dormant since the earthquake struck last week. Very low readings of radioactivity have been measured in Tokyo tap water. Authorities say it's too small to pose a health risk. Christopher Joyce, NPR News, Tokyo.
Firefighters continue to pull victims out of the debris 8 days after one of the strongest earthquakes on record spawned a major tsunami. The task of removing bodies amid tons of rubble in lost towns must be completed before heavy machinery can be called in to begin clearing the debris. A freshman congresswoman from Washington State says senators should call President Obama on his veto threat of the budget and approve $61 billion in spending cuts. Representative Jamie Herrera Butler delivered the GOP address. This is NPR. Navajo tribal elders gathered on Saturday in suburban Phoenix to honor Lloyd Oliver, one of the last Navajo code talkers. Oliver was 88. NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates has this remembrance.
Oliver was one of the original 29 Navajo Marines who created an elaborate code based on their native language. After training at Camp Pendleton, the code talkers, as they came to be known, served in every major Marine battle in the Pacific during World War II. Their code turned out to be impossible for the Japanese to break, and the men sent thousands of messages about Japanese military maneuvers that were critical contributions to the Allies' success. Oliver's family say he was immensely proud of his service as a code talker, but never spoke of it, as the work wasn't declassified until 1968. Lloyd Oliver received a Congressional Gold Medal in 2001 for his service. He died on Wednesday after a brief stay at a hospice just outside Phoenix. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.
The U.S. ambassador to Mexico has stepped down. Carlos Pascual announced his decision after writing a cable questioning Mexico's handling of its war against drug traffickers, a cable that led to a public dispute with the president of Mexico. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says she and President Obama accept Pascual's resignation with great reluctance. The website WikiLeaks published State Department documents detailing embassy officials' criticism of Mexican officials' lack of coordination in the drug war. The Tokyo Electric Power Company, which owns Fukushima facility, plans to provide more power for Tokyo by restarting a conventional gas power plant that was shut down after the earthquake. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.